Bueno, comenzamos entonces esta primera sesión de trabajo que se refiere a la formación inicial del abogado en Europa y en España. Interviene en la misma como moderadora nuestra compañera Mercedes Cabrera Quílez y como redactor de las conclusiones que posteriormente se someterán al término de la tarde a aprobación nuestro compañero Marcos Vázquez Guzmán. Mercedes va a continuación a explicar la dinámica y forma de trabajo exacta de esta sesión que ahora iniciamos. Muchas gracias y adelante.
Buenos días. Me ha tocado coordinar esta primera parte del debate, como ha adelantado Sergio, y voy a intentar explicar un poco la forma en que lo vamos a desarrollar. Estableceremos un orden de intervenciones de cada uno de los participantes con un tiempo de duración de 5 minutos aproximadamente. Cada uno de ustedes dispondrá del material que han preparado para la ponencia y aquellos que necesiten utilizar proyecciones o el ordenador está disponible. Lotario desde aquí coordinará con ustedes perdón, que lo explique él cómo se va a hacer desde la mesa, desde las distintas mesas.
Sí, la idea es que cada uno hable desde el sitio que está ocupando en estos momentos. Para poder hablar, hace falta pulsar el botón que está al lado del micrófono y con un mando a distancia, desde ahí podrán manejar el PowerPoint, o la documentación que han entregado con antelación, que nosotros la colocaremos aquí en pantalla desde el ordenador y ustedes desde ahí con un mando a distancia podrán manejarla desde el sitio que ocupan.
Unido. ¿Se oye? En primer lugar, intervendrá el Reino Unido y tiene la palabra Julian Lombay. Cuando quiera.
Thank you, everybody. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for your hospitality. In this lovely town. I think I'm to explain the initial training in the UK. Actually, I'm going to explain the training in England and Wales because it's separate in Scotland and Northern Ireland. So, United Kingdom, we have several kingdoms historically, and they have different legal systems. But we essentially have two different types of lawyer: the barrister or advocate, about 15,000 of these, and they work in the court system primarily, forensic specialists. They also specialize in particular areas of law and give advice to solicitors, which is the biggest group of lawyers. The solicitors are about over 100,000. So we have common law and Scots law operating in the UK. Common law everywhere, Scots law just in Scotland. The legal professions are self-regulating, and membership of the legal profession is mandatory if you wish to be a solicitor or barrister. But the actual monopoly enjoyed by lawyers is very small, and it's growing smaller. There is no monopoly on giving of legal advice at all, and the only reserved areas relate to disposition of land and when you die, what happens to property. These areas are reserved. Everything else, anybody can do. You don't have to be a lawyer. This slide explains the differences between solicitors and barristers. It's a little bit historical, because the statute at the bottom, the new Legal Services Act, will be in force next year and will allow multidisciplinary partnerships. So banks, insurance companies, anybody commercial can own a law firm and can give legal services in the future. So this means, how will lawyers stand out? They stand out because they have a good name and because people respect their training. But the marketplace, well, we have predictions that the law will be commoditized. In other words, deprofessionalized. It'll be able to be done by supermarkets who will employ people to do little bits of law. They won't need the whole picture, because all they will do is estate transactions or some particular job. So it's like a factory, but it's cheaper that way. But we have to wait and see. The regulations to control the delivery of legal services are not yet published, because the control will move from being on the individual lawyer to being on the company. Okay, this slide shows how you become a lawyer in England and Wales. The normal route, about 50 or 60% will have a 3-year law degree. And then that's stage one. Then they move to solicitor training. About 20% don't have a law degree. They have a degree in chemistry, maths, physics, doesn't matter, art, geology. And they can do a conversion course of 1 year duration, 1 year study of law, and they can then also join the solicitor training. Every year, nearly 20% of new lawyers in England and Wales don't have any training at all in the UK. They come from Spain, America, Australia, India, all over the world. 20%, it's a large number. It's an attractive profession for foreigners. And then you see in the bottom left corner there, 5 to 10% of lawyers have no degree at all of any sort, but they learn slowly through experience. The old apprenticeship system has not been closed. So you can go into a law firm and make the coffee for the boss, carry his papers around, and slowly by experience you learn how to do the trade. And you do lots of exams on the way, and it takes a long time. But you become a legal executive, a paralegal, and you slowly creep up, and eventually you can be a lawyer. But being a lawyer, all these routes make you a lawyer, but in England you don't actually have to be a lawyer now to be a partner in a law firm. So you can be an advertiser, marketer man, and be a partner. So these routes become less important. But anyway, as you see, they're very, very flexible. This is the basic model. After the law degree, you have 1 year legal practice course, and then you have the traineeship. So this is the basic model. The legal practice course is given primarily by two private companies. One is American owned, and they have been authorized to provide this legal practice course by the bar and law society combined. Okay, so there is a set of standards written up by the bar and law society, and they check that these two legal education providers are meeting the standards. They have a validation, they call it, or an accreditation with the bar and law society. So it's not provided by the bar, it's provided by these private providers. And the last stage in becoming a lawyer, after you've had your legal academic knowledge and your legal practical knowledge, is the traineeship, where you have a training contract in a law firm. It can also be in other places. And this is where we have, in our training, the bottleneck, or the difficulty for individuals, because there are not enough places for all the people with law degrees and the second stage, not enough places to train them all. And the main trainers are the very big law firms like Clifford Chance and Lovell's and so on. They provide most of the places for training. And then after 2 years training, you can join and become a solicitor. But that's on-the-job training. There are strict requirements regulated by the Law Society on how and what you must do in this period of your life. You have to do three types of law, different areas of law, different transactional law, forensic law, and so on. So that's the route going round. Qualifying law degree or 1 year course, legal practice course, training contract and professional skills, and then admission to the role. The yellow people are people from Spain and elsewhere who come straight in, avoiding all of this rigmarole. They have to do a transfer test, which makes sure they understand the basic English law. It's quite an easy test. So a little bit more detail on the vocational course. Universities provide it, private law schools, and at the bottom you see the sort of skills that are inculcated. Accounts, how to interview clients, advocacy, legal writing, professional conduct. Very practical, practical course. Go. I think the next slide simply explains for barristers the route. Oh, no, it doesn't. It explains a training contract. This is the detail about the training contract. The last phase, last 2 years, you have to be at least 5 years' experience as a solicitor before you can take on a trainee. Three areas of law. And you learn a lot of practical skills, financial business skills, advocacy communication skills. It's designed to be a highly practical course, highly practical stage. This is an extract from the law on the training contract. It sets out exactly what must be dealt with in the training contract. And the controls here are through visitations by the professional body. Not doing anything. So they can visit the law firm. They have to have reports, they have their own card, they fill in what they've done, the experience, and at the end, this has to be written down. This is a little diagram, quite complex, as you can see, but the bottom route, the blue route, are the people with no degrees. They are people who've left school and want to be a lawyer. It's a very long road, the long blue road. But they have at the end of it to do the legal practice course, and then they can become a solicitor. But they don't need the training contracts. They have all that experience. The red route is the non-law graduate route, the student who studied history or English or some other discipline. And you can see they come in also to being a lawyer very easily. They have to do this one-year course and the practice course. And then we have the red route. These are the law students, who about 50% come in this way, doing a law degree and then the training. So this is for the solicitor. As I said, about 20% of them come from outside the UK. And the courses to do this training are held in Hong Kong, Australia, America. So it's a very dispersed. I mean, the courses are not provided by the bar. They're provided by private course providers who want to make money by giving courses. But the solicitors have always had an open attitude, saying it's very good for the profession if foreigners come in, because it means solicitors have more experience. And we don't worry too much about knowing a lot of English law, because they're not dealing with that. They're dealing with the client who wants to build a house in Italy or Spain, and they know this law. So we don't worry too much about what law they know, but how they know it, how they can do it. I think that's more than enough from me. That's the next stage. So I stop here.
Entiendo que ha terminado su intervención. He anunciado que iba a explicar o establecer la forma en que se iba a desarrollar el debate, pero no lo he concretado el orden de intervenciones. A continuación, El orden que seguiremos será a continuación intervendrá Austria, después Italia, posteriormente Francia, Portugal, Chequia, Holanda y en último lugar haremos una pequeña intervención explicando cómo tenemos establecido el sistema de formación aquí en España. ¿No se oye?
Que pregunto si no sería más práctico que pudiéramos hacer preguntas al final de la intervención de cada uno, porque si esperamos a acabar las intervenciones de todos, quizás las cuestiones que se han suscitado respecto de la intervención de Julián se pierda alguna. No sé qué pensarán los demás, ¿no?
Si preferís que se haga de ese modo, lo que teníamos establecido en principio era que todas las intervenciones se hiciesen de forma conjunta para poder establecer un poco en base a una serie de preguntas los criterios y poder hacer un estudio o un desarrollo comparado. Pero si preferís que se haga de esta otra forma, por nuestra parte no hay ningún inconveniente.
Retiro la propuesta porque le tengo sentado a mi lado.
Pues entonces, a continuación, tiene la palabra Frank Marcus de Austria. Cuando quiera, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I don't need this. First of all, thank you for the invitation, the kind invitation. It's very welcome, very nice here. And after listening to the educational system in England, I have to tell you that we are actually on the opposite side. Our education takes at least 9 years before you become an attorney. And an attorney that can run his own business, like open his own law firm, you have to have at least 9 years of education. And that's why it's becoming comparable in the rest of Europe, which we did already compare, very exclusive. So all of Austria has less lawyers than the city of Munich, which is smaller than Vienna, but the city of Munich has more lawyers than all of Austria. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's just that's just a fact, you know, if it's very protected. Because the Austrians still think you have to have a high-level education when you go out and represent clients' interests. Again, I'm not making any judgment on anything. I'm just telling you what the background is. The university law degree starts with minimum 4 years. And when I was studying in the city of Graz, which is south of Austria, you might not know it, but Schwarzenegger was born there, so that's what everybody knows, we started 700 students, and only 25 finished in 4 years. So usually it takes 5-6 years to finish the law degree. In the beginning, the dropout rate of the first few exams is 60-80%. So only 20% pass, 30% pass, because we do not have an access limitation like Germany with the numerus clausus or similar. So we, in the beginning, sort out pretty quick by harsh exams. Students who just go in there for fun or because it's for free too, I have to say. Everything is for free. Our students' system is basically divided in three main chapters, which sections we come back later. After 4 years, you can you have in the end before you finish your law degree, you have to write a thesis on a topic you choose. So it's like a 70-100 pages thesis on whatever you want. That doesn't matter. You know, at least you have to find a professor who's willing to go along with you. And then you have to have 14 hours elective courses separate from the three main sections, which I turn to now. So, as I said already, the general section is usually in the beginning, which is very high dropout, has a very high dropout rate, which is, when I said basic, such as introduction to legal systems, it's usually criminal law, civil law, constitutional law, European law. The first one, then it turns into history of Austrian and international law, because we still learn about the Austrian legal system, about the past, from 1700, 1800, when Austria was a little bigger, and just to see how it interacts with the countries around us. And it's based not in all of the, but a big part, especially of ownership law and this kind of property law, is based on Roman law, so we have to learn about this too. So we have a mixed system between Roman law system and our own, because from the empire, they were collecting information from all the countries and made a collective law, which is its own system. You know? Section of private law is then following the first general section, which is civil law, two exams. And just to give you an idea, from what I asked I have a student working with me, and I asked, how many pages do you have to study nowadays? He said, the civil law exam has 3,000 pages, and they ask everything. So they're not excluding anything. It's really getting through this very, very hard. Then it's business and commercial law procedure, which is, I think, very much neglected in our countries. I'm speaking of Central Europe, in especially I know about Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, because we learn legal procedure without having an idea how it really works in practice. You know, we have to learn it by heart. But basically, you have to learn how a court ruling looks like without ever having seen one, which I think is the wrong way to go. But just, I want to also say, I'm very glad to be here, because the outcome I want to publish in Austria and Germany anyways after this, maybe if we have found the final paper, to show other, to exchange ideas, because I think Europe is only working if we exchange ideas, you know, and learn from each other. And there's another, I put labor law down, not because it's outstanding important. I don't know why, because but it is historically too. Labor law is very important, together with consumer law. Those are two very important. I know why consumer law is important, because of European attitudes to just get the consumers, protect them. But labor law is different than in a lot of countries. It's easier in Austria, for example, than in Germany, if I'm allowed to compare. In Germany, it's hard to fire somebody. In Austria, it's pretty easy. But you have to follow some procedures and rules. So if you follow those, that's very, very flexible with labor law. But again, it's a big section, and I don't know why, because in the end, it's not so outstanding hard to learn it. But however, probably it's a little bit the social system we have. That's why we have emphasis on this. Then the last is the section of public law, which is constitutional law, administrative law, fiscal law, or tax law, or whatever you call it. European law is now compulsory for 20 years already, really becoming, it's very important. It's implemented as one of the main areas. And international law, especially international private law or sales convention law, those kind of things which you need in practice then for contracts later on. The apprenticeship accord is compulsory for everybody who wants to become an attorney, a judge, or a prosecutor. And it takes 9 months. And we get paid for this. it's not a lot. I think it's €1,000 a month. But still, the young lawyers have to run through this for 9 months, have to write court sentences, have to sit next to judges and learn how the judge system, the legal system works. And at minimum 3 months you have to spend at criminal law and 6 months at civil law. The difference is also, especially compared to the British system, is you have to make the decision when you enter this stage where you want to go. If you want to become an attorney, a judge, or a prosecutor, because it's similar, but the courses which are which you have to take are different. So lawyers have to take more ethics courses. Judges take more take more courses of their stage they wanna or the status they wanna get to, and the state attorney has more state courses than lawyers. So in the end, that's why I started with the 9 years minimum. Basically, education is 4 years at university minimum, the 9 month at court, and 5 years total as trainee lawyer. If you write your thesis, 6 months can be spared, but the thesis take usually 2 years for a doctorate. And after 3 years of proven experience, it's the first time where you can take a bar exam, which usually takes, just to give you an oversight, the bar exam is, the bar exam you have to learn everything. So they can ask you anything you ever studied before. And they do ask you everything. And some don't even say, listen, I put my emphasis on this, I put my emphasis on this. So I was also asking how many, just to give you an idea, pages. It would be, if you put the books together, 25,000 pages. So you take 6 months off and study from morning to night, everything again. So this is why I'm saying the entrance is hard, but when you're in there, then you're kind of more protected than, as I understand, in Spain, for example, or in Germany, because Germany have two stages of a local lawyer or a German-wide lawyer. You know, they have state exams, local one and national one. So the bar exam is taken by a committee of two judges and two listed attorneys in this. There's a list of attorneys who can take exams and two judges. And the judges have to be at least of the Court of Appeal, sometimes Supreme Court, but at least Court of Appeal. We've written exams in civil, criminal, and public laws, each of them 8 hours, and then we have the oral exam about the civil, criminal, and public laws as well. That's not written here. If you write your thesis beforehand, you can exclude those topics which you wrote your thesis on, but that's the only limitation. The biggest difference between especially Austria and the other countries from what I learned in the past is the continuing education. Postgraduates is one part everybody knows. The ongoing skill enhancement for attorneys is required by the statutes of Austrian Bar Association, but it's not checked. So we do not, the Bar Association is saying you have to keep on top, but we do not have to show hours, we do not have to take exams or anything later on after we pass the process. So after university, proven 5 years of experience and successfully passed the bar exam, one is allowed to open his or her own law firm and act self-responsible. That's the first time where you really can sign on your own. And basically, I think from my point of view, if I may say, I would like to come out with this. Maybe we shorten this education, but then we have an ongoing, either we check ourselves ongoingly or we do something different because the education takes very long if I compare it to the other countries, such as Spain. Thank you.
Gracias por su intervención. A continuación, le corresponde el turno a Italia y intervendrá Roberto Sercinelli cuando quiera.
Yes.
No, I think this is the wrong slide. The right one is acceptance process to the profession. Let's try this one. Yeah, this one. Okay. In Italy, to become a lawyer, you need the membership of the bar, which is mandatory according to the law. Basically, nobody shall exercise the function or assume the title of lawyer or avvocato if he's not enrolled to the bar. It doesn't matter if he fulfills all the other requirements. And the violation of this is a serious crime. Becoming a lawyer, an avvocato in Italy, means they must enroll to any local bar. And this according to their place of residence or domicile. You cannot see from here, but there are 165 local bars in Italy because it's according to the court districts. There are 165 court districts in Italy and then the same number of local bars. The main condition for admission to the role, to the local bar, is now established in this ancient law from 1933, which is actually going through a revision. We are undergoing to a reform of the law on the professional lawyer, which is now debating in the parliament right now in the first stage in the main chamber. But now, to become a lawyer and then to ask for the admission to the bar, you must have a degree in law, and then you have 2 years of training under supervision of an advocate, a specific advocate, and the local bar council. And then we have the bar exam. Just about the degree in law, now is a 5 year long process to get a degree. And then you can enroll to the bar as a trainee lawyer. Trainee lawyers are under supervision of an advocate who must be enrolled to the local bar since at least 2 years. And after you finish the first year of training, the trainee lawyers must produce a report to the local bar. After this first stage of training, I mean just the first year of training, it's up to the local bar to establish an oral examination after receiving this report. It's not a mandatory condition for the certification because it's up to any local bar to establish it or not. This examination, as I said, is not mandatory, but some local bars do it in any case and some other just do it when the report is not satisfactory, for example. Then we got a bar exam, which is in two phases. The first one is written, and the second one is oral. This is a part which is going to change with the new law, because, as you may know, now in Italy we are about 230,000 lawyers, which is more or less a quarter or a fifth of all European lawyers. One out of four or five lawyers in Europe are Italians. And this is going to change. So they are now debating how to keep harder to become a lawyer in Italy, even if it's not so easy at the moment, as you can see, because we got a law degree, 2 years of training, and then a tough bar exam, which is, as I was saying, in two phases. The first one is written, and the second one is an oral examination. This starts every year in the same period, so each year we got a bar exam, and this is conducted on a local basis, but not from the local bar, but for every district of Court of Appeal, which is, of course, bigger than a court district, and there are currently 26 districts in Italy. The admission to the second phase, oral, is only for people passing the first selection, the written examination. The subject of the written examination are three essays, civil law, criminal law, and then the third one is, by chance, a civil, criminal, or administrative procedure act. Regarding oral examination, there are five subjects at choice of the candidate. Amongst these subjects, constitutional law, civil, commercial, labor law, criminal law, administrative or tax law, civil, criminal, or administrative procedure, and EU private international religion law. And there is one more, which is compulsory, which is regarding law of advocates and ethics deontology. And this one is compulsory for every candidate. There has been some criticism, as I was saying, about this bar exam, which is not really selective, because it's per each written examination, they gave us 7 hours to solve the task, which is, I think, too much, because everyone gets the solution after 7 hours, because everyone talks to each other, maybe. And the solution of the essay, I mean, of the problem, is not a discrimination between candidates, because everyone gets it. So the grammar, the form, the presentation of your essay become the main part of your examination. And also, there are too many assignments to be corrected at the same time. And this becomes a repetitive task for people who is correcting the essays. And there is not enough time for it, because it takes so much time, months, or about a year, to correct all the essays. As possible solutions, of course, I think the pre-selection could be a good idea to reduce the number of candidates and the number of assignments to be checked. Because less assignment to be checked means that people who is in charge to check the assignment probably can do it better and on a more... in a more practical way. And this is one of the points of the reform. But at the beginning, in the project of law, there was a pre-selection. But now that they are debating the reform in the parliament, actually I know that they have taken the pre-selection out of the text of the new law. In any case, I think that the bar exam must be rethinked in a practical way. As we say, the bar exam is too long, too much time to solve the problems. So we need probably less time, not 7 hours, but maybe 3 hours to complete the assignments. And there will be a more selective examination. As a general criticism to access to the profession, as I saw, there are now too many lawyers in Italy, 230,000. And these means competition in fees to the law, but is not necessary competition on quality. As we say, probably later, there is no specialization for lawyer at the present in Italy. We need more selection, not only for lawyers, for the profession, but to ensure quality to the consumers. And we need an effective supervision on the continuing training and deontology. Thank you.
Gracias por su intervención. Y a continuación le corresponde el turno a Polonia. Agata Adamczyk, cuando quiera.
Yes. Thank you very much for to start with thanking for the invitation and for this opportunity to visit beautiful Santiago and to meet and work with you. My presentation will be short, and I will just skip the first slide which refers to the university training. I will just emphasize that Poland is a party to the Bologna process, so the majority of organizational staff is very similar to what you have in other countries. Generally speaking, to graduate from the law school, it takes 5 years, during which the students can go abroad and study on foreign universities in the framework of Erasmus projects and other scholarships. At the end of this five-year period, every student is obliged to prepare the master's thesis, which is very, very similar to what France had said. It also takes about 7,100 pages, and every student is obliged to defend the master's thesis, which means it is a separate exam during which he or she is obliged to present the thesis and is being asked different questions on the subject of his master's thesis, but also on different other subjects that he or she was studying during this five-year period. After graduation, there are possibilities to go on with master's programs, with PhD studies, but this is not something that I would like to concentrate on. And I would like to present just a short characteristics of the profession of advocate in Poland. Because, as you may see, there are 5 legal professions in Poland and 4 different sets of legal provisions related to how these people are being trained to enter to the profession. Of course, you may see that we have judges and public prosecutors, plus notary public, and they have their own regulations. And then there are 2 different professions, advocate and legal advisor. The differences between the advocates and legal advisors, so that currently the distinction between these 2 professions becomes more and more super artificial, because with regard to the professional competences, these 2 professions are almost the same. So both can appear before all kinds of courts, so the distinction between a legal advisor and advocate is not that in England between solicitor and barrister, because both advocates and legal advisors in Poland can represent their clients before all kinds of courts. The 2 differences between these 2 professions are that legal advisors can exercise both in their law firms and on the basis of the employment contract, so they can be employed in enterprises, in administrative bodies, and their employment relationship is not a regular employment relationship, because they cannot be supervised, they cannot receive instructions from their bosses. They are independent, so they still exercise a liberal profession, although they are being employed. The second difference is that Legal advisors cannot be defenders, they can defend in criminal cases. But they can represent victims in these criminal cases. For example, if a client, an enterprise, suffered from a crime, this enterprise can be represented by legal advisor during the penal procedure. So as you may see, since the competences are very similar, both legal advisors and advocates can act in family law cases, in divorce, in successions, in civil cases, commercial business, whatever. So currently in Poland, there has been a long discussion for the last 8 years with regards to the merger, which actually took place in all European countries. In France, I think it took place 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Also in other European countries, these two professions have already been merged. But unfortunately, now in Poland, both professions dispute, and advocates emphasize that, correctly or not, that you cannot, one cannot exercise a liberal profession if is employed on the basis of the employment contract, because he is dependent on the income from his boss. The others say that even if you exercise a liberal profession, if you are an advocate, but you have one important client and you are not employed within his enterprise, but actually you receive this income and this is the main income that you have, there's the same problem. You become independent economically. So the point of being dependent and independent is not based, is not focused on the kind of contract that you sign with your client, whether you provide him with legal services on the basis of the employment contract or of the mandate contract. It is the point of the income you receive from the client. The problem is that while the two the representatives of two professions are disputing about the merger, the third profession comes to the existence in Poland, which name is very, very similar to legal advisor. I will pronounce it in Polish. In Polish, legal advisor is radca prawny, and the third profession shall be named doradca prawny. So even lexically, there is almost no difference between these two. And the point is that the society gets more and more misled. People don't distinguish advocates, legal advisors, and this third profession, which is, as I said, coming to the existence and which allows for the performance of legal services to the people who graduated from law schools and finished a very short training period. And they are allowed to represent their clients before the lower courts. They can also provide the clients with legal advice. And currently, they are doing that without any deontological rules, without the obligation of insurance. So I personally perceive problem for not only for the advocacy in Poland, for legal advisors in Poland, but also for the consumers, for the clients, who don't distinguish to whom they turn to in need, because they even cannot tell the difference between the three professions. So this is the problem that should also be solved. With regard to the access to the profession, as you may see, I will speak about advocacy and legal advisors. Both professions have very, very similar recruitment procedure. It lasts 3 years and starts every January. This is a current regulation, and I would like to add some historical background, because earlier in Poland, the access to the profession was regulated very similarly as in Austria. So it was extremely difficult to pass the entry exam. Then only like 15-20 people were accepted to the advocacy training in the region of Małopolska, which means Kraków and the surroundings. So very, very few people were accepted. it was difficult to get into the training, and then it was very difficult to pass the bar exam. And of course, young lawyers opposed to this, they emphasized that the access to the profession is limited and that the society has no access to lawyers, to qualified legal advice, and the politicians pushed on that. And as a result, the procedure related to the access to the profession has been reviewed like 5 years ago. And now we are to the opposite. I mean that now it is extremely easy to become a lawyer, advocate in Poland, because the exam is organized, as I wrote in the presentation, by the Ministry of Justice. So it is a state exam. It is no longer organized by the bar. There are some representatives of the bar, but it was said that bars prevent young lawyers to come enter into the market, so they should be prevented from organizing the exam. So now this is the Ministry of Justice who organizes the exam with the participation of the representatives of the bar. Of course, there are some recourses to the Ministry of Justice and then to the administrative court in case if someone doesn't pass. But I tell you that now it is very difficult not to pass the entrance exam, because it is very, very easy. So you can imagine that the number of trainees changed from 20 a year. When I was during the training, it was 30 persons on my year. And now in Krakow, where I live, last year, 600 trainees have been accepted. So you may imagine that in 2 years, 600 young lawyers will enter into the market in the city of Kraków. And the same happens and I'm talking about legal advisors. In addition to that, there are 200 young junior advocates, trainee advocates, that will join them. And the same happens in every city in Poland. And you have to add to that this third profession, which is not well regulated. So there is a massive increase of lawyers on the market. The last point I put in my presentation is the level of knowledge and competences of trainees before and after the modification. Because you may imagine, if there are 600 people on 1 year, the bar becomes the law school. And there are not enough people to train them. They are not enough people to, as Roberto said, read their exams, to teach them. So I'm listening to the comments of the trainees I'm the tutor of, and they said that really they don't feel that they are learning something during the traineeship at the bar, because it is too many people. And in the end, it is what you learn at work that you get the competences in. So very similarly as in Italy, the level of legal services, maybe not legal services, but the preparation to the profession gets lower and lower. And this is a true problem. In few words, bar associations are responsible for the organization of the traineeship. So as I said, they were prevented from selecting the people they want to accept to the training, but they are now obliged to organize the training. So we have, for example, we have in Kraków, we don't have space to train them, because there is no room in the seat of the bar association to put 600 people in one time. So we have to rent different premises and pay several times to the same lecturers, to the same judges, to give lectures on the same subject 4 or 5 times. The traineeship is financed by the trainees. As I said, the traineeship has theoretical and practical dimension. Theoretical dimension is that every week there are lectures which last 5 hours on different subjects. And to tell you the truth, I'm receiving feedback that the level of this lecture is quite low and people are not listening, they are reading newspapers and they are not very interested. These are the judges who teach, and this should be an advantage. But the young lawyers stress on that they would more like to get a lecture from a professional, from an advocate, from a legal advisor, to get the practical dimension of the profession. But both legal advisors and advocates are reluctant to get involved into training because they have to focus on their own practice. So it is somehow strange that if young advocate trainee or legal advisor trainee doesn't work in a law firm because of some reason, he works somewhere else, he couldn't find the job in the law firm, he has no idea whatsoever about how to run it. The practical dimension during the traineeship are the practices in courts, in law firms, administrative bodies, prosecutors' offices, and other like enforcement offices. And it's very much similar to what Franz said, that every trainee is obliged to sit next to the judge, write sentences, write the justification to the sentences. And this is a part of the traineeship that is very valuable and gives a lot to traineeship, to the trainees. With regard to the practices in law firms, it very much depends on where a particular trainee will appear, because there are some law firms which really engage them in work and give them something to do with regard to law. Others just sign off or ask them to make coffee, as Julian said. So it very much depends on when you get. Role of the tutor. Every trainee is obliged to have a tutor, which is a person who is responsible for the professional development of a young lawyer and who should meet him or her every week and control the progress of his development and give him instructions and take care of the kid. And of course, when you take into account that there are 600 people in traineeship this year, they have very much problems with finding a tutor. And one last thing, which is interesting, since, as you may see, the traineeship is fully financed by the trainees, they have to earn money somewhere, and normally they are employed. The difference is that legal advisor trainees can work anywhere, so they can work in an enterprise, in a law firm, in an administrative body, anywhere. But young advocates trainees are forced to work in their tutor's law firm. So you may imagine what the consequences are. And it lasts for 3 years. There is a bar exam, which is very much similar to Italy. The commission is formed by, again, the representatives of Ministry of Justice and of the bars. There are five parts of the written exams. It is a mistake. This is a mistake. This is the entrance exam. There are two parts or three parts, and usually you elaborate an appeal or a contract or some important court piece, and this is how it is checked whether a trainee is already well prepared. It is very similar to what Marcus Franz said, that you have to learn, study a lot, and there are a lot of subjects, and there is also the oral exam. Okay. Am I obliged to finish now?
Sí, yes. Por favor. No quiero interrumpir la intervención, pero vamos fuera de tiempo, vamos bastante mal de tiempo. Okay. Y ruego brevedad en las intervenciones. Gracias. Gracias. Y a continuación le corresponde intervenir a Francia. Hervé tiene el turno de intervención y reitero que ruego brevedad, puesto que nos hemos excedido en tiempo. Gracias.
¿Me da 2 minutos?
¿Sí? Por supuesto, y hasta 5.
Bueno, en Francia tenemos pocos abogados, tenemos 50.000 abogados, porque es muy complicado aprobar el examen de abogado. Para ser abogado, el estudiante tiene que pasar un examen que se dice que se nombre PRECAPA. Es un examen que existe desde 1991 y se puede intentar pasar ese examen si el estudiante tiene un máster 1. Y lo puede intentar tres veces. Si no supera, tiene que dejar de ser abogado. Esta escuela, si supera el examen, esta escuela es una escuela que dura 2 años, de tres periodos de 6 meses, y con las vacaciones hace 2 años, un periodo de empresa, es decir, que el alumno abogado tiene que ir dentro de una empresa que puede ser una administración pública y hacer un proyecto después, un proyecto de explicaciones de lo que ha visto. Después, los 6 meses que siguen son 3 de deontología y 3 de práctica de abogados. Y los 6 meses siguientes son una pasantía dentro de un despacho de abogados. Después de eso hay el examen final, que se llama CAPA. Antes era el pre-CAPA, después el CAPA, el certificado de acceso a la profesión de abogado, que existe desde 1941. Es decir, que hace mucho tiempo que tenemos un examen para ser abogado en Francia. Y este examen es muy difícil. Eso explica los 50.000 abogados por Francia, que es lo mismo que hay solo en Madrid, me parece. 230.000 en Italia, seamos muy lejos. Bueno, lo que se enseña en esas escuelas podremos hablar después, pero el que me parece importante es decir que tenemos a Francia desde 2005 una formación profesional continuada obligatoria para todos los abogados, de 20 horas el año, 40 en 2 años, y los abogados jóvenes tienen de hacer esencialmente esta formación en deontología. Es muy importante la deontología en Francia. Las escuelas hacen mucho deontología porque piensan que las bases teóricas se han hecho en la universidad y la escuela tiene de ser práctica y deontológica. Esta formación continuada también existe para los que tienen especialidades, porque en Francia tenemos especialidades, 15 especialidades y 63 subespecialidades, que es mucho, y un decreto de 2008 dice que todo eso tendría que estar suprimido y cambiado por 30 especialidades solamente. Estas especialidades obligan al abogado a hacer formación continuada dentro de especialidad por la mitad de las horas obligatorias del año. Y si la formación no está hecha, el decano puede puede traducir el abogado delante del consejo regional de disciplina para sancionarlo, y la sanción puede ser una radiación también. ¿Qué decir para ser rápido? Esta formación da un crédito de impuesto personal. Es decir, que los abogados que hacen esta formación pueden deducir de su renta, de su impuesto de renta, unos 400 euros al año. Los exámenes de pre-capa son exámenes con un tribunal catedrático, el profesor catedrático y el abogado, y el examen del CAPA es un tribunal con tres personas: el catedrático de abogado, el abogado y el juez. Y cuando se echa el examen de especialidad, el catedrático tiene de ser especialidad, tiene de tener la especialidad, y el abogado también, y el juez también. Y eso es muy complicado, es decir, que para ser abogado generalista en Francia no puede ser antes de 25 años, y para tener especialidades antes de 30 años es imposible también. Entonces, el comentario que haría es que es mucho complicado, mucho más, demasiado complicado ser abogado. Y el problema es que los estudiantes que querían entrar en la profesión de abogado no pueden entrar por la complicación que tienen, y van hacer su feina, hacer su trabajo en otra profesión. Entonces, los abogados franceses están casi especializados en juicios judiciales y hacen poco jurídico. Entonces, es un problema muy importante en Francia y no sabemos cómo solucionarlo. ¿Ya está bien? ¿Dos minutos?
Muy bien.
Bueno, gracias.
Gracias. Tiene el turno de intervención Portugal, Ana Sofía de Sá, y le ruego brevedad porque vamos muy, muy mal de tiempo. Gracias.
Lo intentaré. Buenos días a todos. Quiero empezar por agradecer la invitación. Una palabra especial al profesor Lotario Vilaboy por su amabilidad. Muy bien, a Portugal hemos asistido a un profundo cambio de paradigma en el ejercicio de la profesión de abogado. Hemos cambiado de un sistema de facilidad para un sistema más selectivo. El problema era este: la opción era una, optar por un tipo de advocacia similar a los países de la América Latina, o intentar emprender una reforma, una alteración, y poner la advocacia portuguesa a lo mismo nivel de los países más desenvoltos. Esto no es consensual. Los organismos de la orden han debatido este problema de forma muy vehemente, pero por deliberación del Consejo General 3.333A de 2009, los abogados portugueses hoy tienen que hacer un examen muy complejo, con una gran espectro de materias. Designadamente, el enfoque ha sido puesto en los derechos humanos. La tramitación de procesos en los tribunales, en el Tribunal Europeo de los Derechos Humanos. Portugal tiene miles de abogados, un ratio de 350, de un abogado por 350 habitantes. Lo cambio del paradigma se centra también en la práctica. Lo ensino teórico ha sido un poco relegado para segundo plano. La práctica es ahora una preocupación de los formadores con simulaciones de sesiones de tribunal con los futuros abogados. La responsabilidad por la formación ha sido cambiada para los patronos, que son es un término que nosotros utilizamos para los abogados con más años de ejercicio de abogacía, que orientan los futuros abogados. Un papel muy relevante a los centros de estágio, que son escuelas, pero no tan teóricas como ha sido en los últimos 20 años, más prácticas. La formación deontológica es igualmente muy relevante en nuestro sistema actual. Y por tanto, lo importante a comprender es que la orden se certifica y verifica previamente la preparación científica conferida por las universidades de jóvenes abogados o futuros abogados. Así, los graduados en Derecho con una formación académica inferior a 5 años, la nueva formación del proceso de Bolonia obligatoriamente tiene que obtener aprobación en el examen de acceso. La totalidad del estágio es muy comprida, muy longa, una formación inicial de 6 meses para garantizar que los iniciados, que los futuros abogados tienen la técnica fundamental, los aspectos meramente básicos, basilares de la profesión, y asegurar el conocimiento de las normas deontológicas para garantizar que el abogado estagiario puede cambiar a una fase complementar de 24 meses. Na fase complementar, penso que poderia falar de seguida para poder fazer uma intervenção mais breve, como me ha sido solicitado. E poderia falar da fase complementar na minha próxima intervenção.
La fase complementar a que se refiere forma parte de lo que definimos como formación continuada, ¿no es así?
En Portugal no hay eso de formación continuada. Voy a hablar un poquito solamente para podernos ver.
Situar.
Na fase complementar de formación de los futuros abogados, los futuros abogados tienen que tener la percepción del funcionamiento del escritorio, de lo que nos designamos por patrono, y de los tribunales, así como todos los servicios, todas las reparticiones conexionadas con el ejercicio de la abogacía. ¿Puede también participar en el sistema de acceso a los derechos? Pero dentro de los trámites y de las limitaciones que la ley prescribe relativamente a este aspecto. Muy importante son las acciones de formación vocacionadas para prácticas forenses, las simulaciones de sesiones judiciales que ya había referido anteriormente. Estas sesiones envuelven varias áreas del derecho, sobre todo procesuales, tributarias, administrativas, laborales, del concurso, derecho de sociedades, comunitario, constitucional, tramitación de recursos en el Tribunal Europeo de los Derechos del Hombre. También algunos coloquios de registros y notariados. Es muy importante clarificar en esta fase de formación complementar las salidas profesionales que en el futuro van a tener los abogados. Una vez cerrado este proceso de formación, el futuro abogado deberá presentar todos los relatorios y demás elementos relevantes para la conclusión de su proceso de formación. Cumplido este requisito, el centro de estágio determinará si el candidato a abogado está o no apto a hacer un examen final de agregación a la orden de los abogados. Incluso una prueba escrita y una prueba oral para que se pueda aferir la capacidad técnica y científica del abogado, del futuro abogado y su preparación deontológica para el ejercicio de la profesión. La prueba escrita se compone de un tema deontológico, elaboración de escritos procesuales, obligatoriamente derecho civil y penal y dos otras áreas opcionales. La clasificación para que puedan acceder a la prueba oral tiene de ser pelo menos de 10 valores en 20. Puede haber una repetición de la prueba, solamente una, y una nueva clasificación inferior a 10 valores en 20 significa lo retorno al inicio de la fase complementar. Una nueva reprobación significa que el futuro candidato a abogado no podrá inscribirse durante 3 años en la orden dos abogados para hacer la formación y obtener el título para el ejercicio de la advocacía. Aprueba una discusión oral en lo presupuesto que el candidato haya obtenido 10 valores en la prueba escrita. Esta prueba será compuesta por una exposición oral de un tema tratado por el candidato preferencialmente en el escritorio del patrono, o entonces una cuestión debatida y controvertida en la doctrina o la jurisprudencia.
Disculpa. Ruego brevedad porque todavía nos faltan dos intervenciones y vamos fuera totalmente de programa.
Muy bien, voy a terminar breve. La prueba oral, hay también una simulación de una sesión en tribunal y una discusión teórico-práctica de cuestiones de carácter profesional. Y solo es admitida una repetición de esta prueba. una nueva reprobación tiene las consecuencias del cancelamiento de la inscripción para obtener el título de abogado. Ha terminado. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias. Si les parece, terminamos con las intervenciones. Quedarían Chequia y Holanda por explicar su sistema de formación inicial. Posteriormente interrumpimos para una brevísima pausa café y a continuación se dará lugar a la segunda fase de esta primera ponencia y entablaremos el turno de debate del que se hará cargo nuestro compañero Juan Verdejo y José Manuel. ¿Os parece bien? Pues cuando quiera, Lenka Bojirova tiene la palabra. Puedes empezar.
So am I having 2 minutes or 1 minute? One, okay.
Uno y medio.
So I'd like to once again thank you to the organizers for inviting me to this beautiful event. I had the opportunity to take a walk yesterday to the city center, and it was marvelous. The Santiago de Compostela is definitely a marvelous city, so thank you very much for inviting me. I will be really brief. Actually, I don't have this the flip remote thing. Control. Okay, so if you want to become a lawyer, you have to obtain at least the master degree within the Faculty of Law in the Czech Republic, which takes, as you can see, 5 years. Is the Master of Law, which is actually enough, then you can go definitely further for obtaining the other academical titles like JUDR, that's the Doctor of Law, or the PhD, that's the Postgraduate Studies, but this is not a need in case you want to become a lawyer. I forgot to mention the bachelor degree. We also have the bachelor program for, let's say, lawyers, but these lawyers are more or less focused on special field of law, and they cannot actually enter the register of the trainee lawyers within the Czech Bar Association. They are focused on, for example, the medicine law or some sort of administrative law, but they are not entitled to enter the register of lawyers. Yes, the traineeship. We have the 3 years period time for the traineeship, which the trainee lawyer has to undergo under the supervision of a lawyer. But there is also other training possible, which might be recognized, as you can see, for example, within the public prosecutor offices or judge offices, executor offices. Within this 3 period of time, the trainee lawyer is obliged to attend seminars that are organized by the Czech Bar Association. There is the entrance or the initial training seminar that takes about 3 days. And within these 3 days, the trainee lawyers are taught about the professional regulation and act on the legal profession of the Czech Bar Association. Then, during this 3-year period, he has to take other seminars. More of them are half-day seminars. It takes about 3 to 4 hours. Some of them are obligatory, and some of them are as you can see, obligatory, but training can choose, so it's more or less, I might have written, optional. These seminars are divided into 4 categories. Trainee lawyers are taking seminars from the private law, public law, criminal law, and from the professional law. Well, and last but not least, there is, let's say, the 5th category, where a trainee can go at the end of his or her period of training to get some sort of sum up from lawyers and judges that are actually will be then examining him or her during his or her bar exam. The bar exam is composed of 2 parts, written part and the oral part. Written part takes 3 days, 9 a.m. till 5 a.m., about 8 hours each day. The first day, legal trainees are doing the civil law, the second day they do the criminal, and the third day the administrative or the constitutional law. As my colleagues mentioned here already, it's quite similar. They are writing some complaints, they can write an action, they can appeal some sort of things. The oral part, then, if the trainee passes the written part, it's composed of five categories: the civil law, commercial law, criminal law, administrative and constitutional law, and the professional regulation, that's the CHEP Bar Professional Regulations and Act on the Legal Profession. The bar exam itself can be retaken twice, and this actually doesn't belong here yet. So thank you for your attention.
Muchísimas gracias por la intervención y por la brevedad. A continuación, Holanda. Ann, cuando quieras.
That's difficult. Because, first of all, I also want to thank you for the invitation. I think it's fabulous. I admire the city. I love the atmosphere. I love you people. I love it all. So thank you for the invitation.
No.
And now the presentation in 1 second. I'll try. Well, we can go to the second one. And we can go further now also, because that's only the introduction of myself. You can see that I have a lot of experience in developing training courses on all kinds of levels for the bar, but also for a private training institute. Before I joined the bar, in cooperation with the bar. Then some facts and figures. It's always nice to know how many lawyers there are. In the Netherlands, we have 16,000 lawyers, and we have 16 million people. So I think that's a nice figure. An issue in the Netherlands the last years is that we have that a lot of women are entering the bar. They are entering, but they are not in the top of the bar. But that's getting better. It's a question of time, I think. The number of lawyers in Amsterdam is 1/3 of the lawyers in the Netherlands. And the number of firms in Amsterdam is also very much. And that's not only because they have the big international firms, but they also have the largest number of one-person lawyer firms. Well, you can see this, what kind of different firms we all have. In the Netherlands, there's a great issue. How can we develop education for all these different kinds of firms and this different kind of lawyers? Because we have for almost 20 years now education and 1 year's education for lawyers, but more and more. We are thinking that the education for someone who is going to work in a big international law firm must be different for someone who is going to work in a small firm and who has only individual clients. So there is already a commission. Well, I'll save you this one. There is already a commission for that. And the commission is preparing some reforms. It's still secret, but in 2 or 3 months they will give their report. We have a mandatory membership of our bar. We have 19 local bars who have also a function in the education. Actually, we have a commission for this structure also, because we have a lot of competition issues. What is competence issues? What is competence of the local bar, and what is the competence of the Netherlands bar in Den Haag? It's also in the education at stake. Well, this is the core business of the bar. You see that training is one of our core business now, but the commission I just mentioned will advise that training is not that we are going to outsource the training, that it must be done by the universities in cooperation with the lawyers. So I think that next year we don't have our own education training anymore. Well, we have self-regulation. Of course, we have also many regulation on trainees and on training and on traineeship. Actually, because I have a lot of experience on training, I think I never saw such a complicated regulation for the trainee of lawyers as from all other things I've organized. It's a book. It's a book like this. This is the same as in a lot of other countries. You start at secondary school. You must do the university 4 years. Else you can't become a lawyer. There is a possibility if you are a law student from a polytechnic, but then you must do an intermediate year and a master at the university. So actually you have an academic degree after that also. Well, these are the mandatory subjects. It's not very new, private law, criminal law, constitutional law, administrative, it's all the same as with other countries. Then the procedure to become a Dutch lawyer, well, actually, you must have an individual lawyer who is supervising you. Mostly, you will be employed in a registered law firm. There is a possibility also in Holland for in-house lawyers, but there are only 400 in-house lawyers. And I know that we have the most famous case in Europe, the Axo Nobel case. But, we don't bother so much about them. We don't have trouble with them. They have a special employment contract to safeguard their independence, and it's functioning now for about 10 years, and there are no difficulties. Well, of course, there is the oath before the court, and then there is the 3 years of traineeship, 1 year with very much education and 2 years with less education. We have several exams. No oral exams, because we can't manage it, to be frankly. It would be too big organization. And there's another thing I have to be frankly about it. The commission I told you about is also a bit worried, because once you go to the training, there are only, I think there's only 2% who doesn't pass the exams. Sometimes they take three strikes for it, but there were some people who used to take 5 strikes for it, but now we have changed the regulations. After 3 strikes, you're out. But in 1 or 2 years we will have a more strong examination. Well, we have thousands new lawyers a year, and they get lessons from experienced lecturers and trainers. Mostly it's a combination. It's a combination from lawyers, judges, and university professors. The cost for the trainee is sometimes for the trainee individual, and sometimes it's for the law firm. It depends from the contract that the trainee has with his law firm. It's about 5,000 euros now. I don't know. I didn't notice that someone else thought about the costs. It's quite an issue in our country that it shouldn't be too high. That's why the bar is organizing it, because when private institutes will organize it, the cost will be at least 10,000. Well, development of the curriculum, it's rather easy. We have a committee for each course. It's a big organization, I must say. They are meeting twice a year, and they revise their documentation each 2 years. Well, we what is special on the training in the first year? The training in the first year is about 28 days, and we give a lot of attention to the professional skills, the communication, the appearance in court, the written skills, and mediation. Because we think that mediation is an important skill for lawyers as well. It's quite an issue in Holland, actually. Well, then there's the three strikes you out. I already told it. No certificate, you will be disbarred. But I already told also that there are only a few who are disbarred. Well, this is a further education program. How much time did I take? 1 minute? I've tried, but it was too difficult. Thank you.
Muchísimas gracias. Voy a comentar de manera muy breve cómo está establecido el sistema de formación inicial en España, brevísimo. Simplemente decir que en la actualidad no tenemos ninguna norma que obligue a la formación para el acceso, simplemente la licenciatura en Derecho, que viene configurada por un título universitario de 5 años y que solamente para el acceso al turno de oficio exige un requisito de formación previa para poder desempeñar esta tarea. Este panorama en nuestro país en breve se modificará, será sustituida la licenciatura en Derecho por el título de grado. Serán 4 años en principio, pero tampoco tenemos muy claro cuál será el contenido formativo de ese título de grado en cuanto al número de materias de contenido jurídico que contendrá. Y en el año 2006 se publica la Ley de Acceso a la Profesión, con un periodo de vacatio de 5 años, que entrará en vigor en 2011, en octubre de 2011, que deja para el desarrollo reglamentario el tema del establecimiento de esa formación y de ese examen que será requisito imprescindible para el acceso, texto que todavía no está configurado, de tal manera que en la situación actual en España se canaliza la formación inicial a través de las escuelas de práctica jurídica, homologadas por el Consejo de la Abogacía Española, en el que se establece un sistema de formación por objetivos y que culmina con la presentación a un examen para verificar el aprovechamiento de esos cursos, que se denomina prueba CAP. Por mi parte, nada más, agradecer a todos y cada uno de los intervinientes su participación, agradecer asimismo a los representantes, a los miembros de la Comisión de Formación del Consejo de la Abogacía de Galicia su participación y a todos y cada uno de las personas que nos encontramos en esta sala con esa necesidad de tomar café, especialmente a Austria, que lo necesita enormemente y, por tanto, en este punto interrumpimos. Interrumpimos la sesión. Tenemos 10 minutos, si nos permite el notario, para el café. Y nada más, muchas gracias.